Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to Nate Parrish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to tonight's episode of the Rock for Him podcast. I am one of your hosts, Riker Levine, and joining me here tonight is Nate Parrish. How's it going, man?
What is up? Good to meet you.
Yeah, it's good to meet you. I mean, we were just talking. Unfortunately, Jason had something going on tonight, and something came up last minute for Jeremy, so neither of them could be on. But I'm not entirely sure. This wasn't a plot from those two to like get us to know each other, because you know Jason and Jeremy pretty well at this point, and we've never actually met. So
we've never met.
It might have been a big conspiracy.
It's a parent trap situation. They're trying to get us to meet and
yeah,
get back together. So
yeah,
cool.
There you go. So anyone who wants to, you know, razz them a little bit in the comments for slacking tonight, go ahead and do that.
Please do.
So for me, who, I mean, we've never actually met before, and I've been listening to your music recently, which I've really been enjoying. But for myself, and for maybe some of our other viewers who are newer or don't know about you and your music as well, tell us a little bit about who you are and the kind of music you do and why you do it.
Well, I'm Nate, and I've been doing music for 20 years, maybe. I started off in punk bands, and that was my first, you know, my parents had really good taste in music, so I was fortunate to grow up with good music. But I think punk rock was my music, you know, when I heard it, it really spoke to me. And so I got a guitar, and I was in a band. And I didn't even know what the chords were called or anything. I just started writing songs. And then I got into worship music. You know, I'm a Christian. I started going to church regularly right as I was graduating, and was exposed to worship music and what that was. And I thought, man, it's cool, but I don't really get it. It didn't really speak to me. So I joined a band, and we started writing our own worship music, and it had screaming in it and all that kind of stuff. And that kind of sent me off on a trajectory of doing music as a career. And I've been in a bunch of bands, and I have been doing solo music for the past 5 years, and been really, really enjoying that. And I write music because I think, like any artist, you have to, you know, it's how you process. Just creating is what keeps you feel alive when you're creating, or at least I do. So I write songs that I need to hear, and hopefully they resonate with other people as well. But yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, so you mentioned that you do punk music right now, pretty primarily, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's such a, like any genre, it's, there's so many subgenres.
No. I think it's Nate's cutting out a little bit. Still with us, Nate? Uh-oh.
You got me?
Oh, there you are.
Was I frozen?
You were frozen for a minute there, yeah. But I've got you back, and you're.
Was my face in a cool position or no?
You were in a explaining. You could tell you were about to say something really great, and then it cut. And then I was like, "Oh no!"
I guess that's the easy way to describe my genre of music, but it means different things to different people. I just like writing songs that are that have energy and that are catchy, and I try to say something that matters. The punk thing is like I look at it as a mentality, like an ethos. You know, it's a DIY. Kind of a thing, and so I don't think of it as much as a way something sounds. It's the way it feels, I guess.
And yeah, I read on your I think it where I read this was your Spotify description, but kind of talking about how like how you approach punk as more in your mindset towards it. Tell me a little bit about that, your mindset towards punk and playing punk music.
So the bands that I grew up with that I loved that happen to be punk rock bands, they all sort of made their own way, you know? So I love that aspect, and I've always been creative, and I like being involved in all the things that go along with music and being in a band. So I do, you know, I do my own artwork, my own merch designs. I do a lot of my own videos, the album design. When I started doing solo music, I wanted to record it myself. So my first two albums I recorded, well, technically all of them I've recorded in like a room like this. Like that's my vocal booth right there. And yeah, I just think it's like I've been a part of record labels before, and I think it's a good idea if you can to have your hands on and control as much of the music and what happens with your music as possible. So I can record a song, do all the artwork, and I could put it out tomorrow if I wanted to, because I can, you know. And I think that's a punk thing to do, you know, that no one else gets a say in that, you know.
Yeah, I love that. And obviously, unfortunately, that's kind of the reality with a lot of record labels and publishing companies and stuff like that, where it's like you could, and people have found really good ones that just really want to support you, and we've talked with some of them before, but there is the reality that at a certain point, one, it's very rare to find a label like that or a production company like that, and two, even the good ones at a certain point they're wanting to monetize what you make, and there yes there's that punk side of some creators like you that are like, but I just want to make it my own, and I think
Listen,
that's awesome.
I'm not opposed to it. If there's a, you know, a record label or whatever out there that wants to, that, you know, hey Nate, here's $10,000, you know, make an album. Of course, that would be awesome. It's pretty rare, and it's not often done without strings attached, you know. So, but if you're out there and you're a really crazy wealthy person and you love to support Nate Parrish, just say you're a record label and you can help me fund my next project. I'm not
There you
opposed to
go.
it. But for right
There you
now,
go.
I'm good with DIY.
There's the promo.
There it
We'll
is. That was
we'll
my
put
pitch.
the
How
we'll
was
put
it?
that pitch out there.
Was it compelling? Probably not, but
All right, so question that I had, I was watching one of your old interviews with Rock for Him, the one from last year. And right as the podcast started, Jeremy and Jason both have their nicknames, Sand Shoes and Big Boy. And you mentioned that you needed to think of a good nickname for you on this because you hadn't thought of one yet.
I have.
Have you thought of one yet?
Well, here's the reality of the situation. I don't remember that at all. So,
I honestly
I'm
wasn't
still
expecting that,
working
but I
on
was
it.
curious.
You
You're
know, I'm still working on it. Nothing has come to my mind yet.
gonna have to write this down because next time you're on, we're gonna
Yes,
ask you
I need
again.
that nickname. Yeah, it's funny.
All right, so one thing that we always ask our guests on, and even if we've had them on multiple times like we have with you, we always want to get your testimony because it's such a encouragement for so many people, myself included, to hear these artists that we listen to talk about their faith and their walk. Tell me, and you don't have to take super long on it, but tell us a little bit about your testimony, how you came to know Christ.
For me, I was my mom, very strong Christian, and we were raised in a home with Christian values, but maybe not in the traditional sense of we weren't like, you know, the Norman Rockwell painting where we were going to church on Sundays and things like that. We rarely went to church. It's funny because my mom is, she's what I would call a truth teller. And sometimes people don't like that. So I remember she got kicked out of a few churches for calling some stuff out. And yeah, so I kind of grew up with that. Not a distrust of church at all, just I didn't really have a strong connection to it, but I had a strong connection to God. And when I graduated high school, you know, I was a Christian from a young age, but I wanted to make sure that the faith was my faith and not my parents or, you know, American faith or whatever. So I got to college and I took all the classes you're not supposed to take. You know, I took philosophy, Eastern religions, all that kind of stuff because I wanted to see, you know, and I came out the other side with my faith intact. And I think that's important for people to do. You meet a lot of people that when pressed, they don't really know why they believe what they believe. You know what I mean? And not that you have to have all, you can't have all the answers. I don't have any of the answers, but like, I think it's important to know why you believe what you believe. And there's an element of that faith, a faith that is blind. You don't see everything, but I do think that you should do your research, you know? And so that was big for me. And then in my, you know, 20s, that's when I kind of got serious about it. And I got into ministry, like I was mentioning, the worship band thing. You know, I was a musician, so they're like, hey, you should join the worship team. I'm like, don't even know what that is, but let's go. And that kind of started my life in ministry. But yeah, that's kind of the short version.
No, that's great. So it was interesting what you said with your mom getting kicked out of churches or maybe politely asked to leave for calling things out. There's this a YouTuber I watch right now. His name is Mike Winger. He's a YouTube theologian, and he's been going under heavy fire for just that, for actually calling out corruption in the church like we're called to in Matthew. And so it's very very good, a blessing to have people like that are willing to call out wrongdoings.
I like
But
Mike Winger. I like him a lot. I've been following him for a while and
yeah.
I think he does important work and it is interesting to watch how the term whistleblower, I don't love that term, but that's kind of what that is. I call it a truth teller, but it's amazing to watch people like Mike get called out and people are so mad at him for just exposing what is someone else's doing. But he's the one like, Mike, don't make us aware of this issue. And it's like, you don't, what about the guy that's actually doing the thing?
Right.
It's fine. Oh, I see a big boy.
I see a big boy.
Hello,
How's it going,
guys.
Jeremy?
How's it going, Riker? Hey, Nate.
Hey, dude. How are you, man?
Good, you?
I'm good. We're just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
We were saying
Long time no
how,
see.
yeah, we were talking about how it was probably a plot between you and Jason to make sure I was on here alone so that I could get to know Nate.
I mean, no.
They were hazing you. You're being hazed.
He's the new he's the still the new guy, so.
That's right.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, I
So
mean.
yeah, Nate was just telling us a little bit about his testimony, and we were talking about the necessity of like people who are willing to call out wrongdoing in the church or corruption in the church or yeah, stuff like that.
Light stuff.
Yeah, super light stuff.
Right. Right. So, oh, dude, your new album. Let's talk about that.
Yeah,
Make
let's
Me a
talk about
Mountain. I mean, I've got it on my top five for the year. Like,
it.
seriously.
That's cool, man. Thank you.
I mean, what's been your favorite song?
You know, I really like I guess so if I if it's my favorite song, it's the like I guess something I can listen to over and over. I really like Make Me a Mountain. That song was very deeply personal to me, obviously, but I love that one. It's I think it's got a really cool feel. It's got strings on it and all that stuff. So I really like that one. And then the opening track, You're Wrong Again, is just fun. Like it's just a really straightforward, fast.
It is. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think the thing that struck me most about initially listening to it, and there was a lot that I liked about the album, but honestly, I'd like to focus for a second on the album art. I absolutely loved the album art. It felt so like, I don't know, almost fun and like almost a little vintagey, like a vintage punk rock band, which I absolutely love. Like an early 2000, obviously, vintage is relative, but.
Right.
But
Yeah.
you know what I mean, like that kind of feel, which I absolutely loved, and it definitely, I think, got me in a fun mindset going into listening to the album.
Yeah, that's always a fun part about putting out an album or doing music. That's one of the things I love the most about it is, okay, now I get to do the artwork, and that's always really fun. And that cover is actually not the original cover. I have variation. Yeah, I really like, obviously I love like all the kind of like monstery 90s type of like slime and bright colors and Ninja Turtle stuff kind of things. And I like putting in little Easter eggs in all the artwork. So if if you have any of my albums or any of the single artwork, you'll see reoccurring pictures and things like hidden in there. So it all has like symbolism. There's all has a lot of meaning in it, and hopefully people spend time and you can, oh, that's, oh, okay, I saw that somewhere else. And I don't know, it's just fun to do.
No, that's super cool.
It is. It's a lot of fun. So, is it this week you're playing with the Alien Ant Farm, or is that
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday? That's what I
Yeah,
thought.
it's a Wednesday show, which is kind of unique, but I love that. It's cool.
Middle of the week, yeah.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why wait till Friday or Saturday? Let's just
It's
do it right
good.
in the middle of the week. But yeah, that's coming up. It's gonna be fun.
So that's your end of the year, right? Last show
Yeah,
for the year.
so well, that's my local show, and then I'm doing a acoustic show with Aaron Gillespie at the end of the month.
Okay.
But that's up north. That's like 6 hours from Bakersfield. So the Alien Ant Farm is like the only local one that I'm doing. Yeah.
Cool. That'll be fun.
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, I'm looking
You guys
forward
will you guys will blow them out of the water.
to it. Oh, I thought it'd be funny if we covered Smooth Criminal before them and in hopes
Take the
of,
thunder.
yeah, we could start some sort of beef, with Alien Ant Farm. But we're not gonna.
Uh-oh, looks like Nate froze again.
Uh-oh.
Both of these, okay. I think we're still on while Nate, gets his stuff together. He has frozen both times when talking about something we're like really interested in hearing. So, I'm sure he'll
Of course. Yeah, it'll unfreeze. I
Oh,
haven't
Nate.
seen anybody comment on anything. Have you seen anything?
No, not on Facebook. I think a bunch of people were expecting we'd be up on YouTube today, and unfortunately, we're only live on Facebook today because OBS wouldn't work. Sorry, guys.
Oh, goodness. Nope.
Uh-oh.
Wiggly key cut out.
Jeremy, if you want to make sure that he has the link still to get back in. But
Yeah.
in the meantime, I guess I can say November
16th.
16th, we are doing a and I so I don't know the address off the top of my head, but we're doing a show with Becca from Reclaim the Day, the Sons of Thunder, and also good friend of the channel Dusty Bones. It's going to be a very low key but fun acoustic-y feel. So
Yep,
if you're
come out.
in the Flint, Michigan area, please come out, check us out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're super excited. So, perfect timing.
There he goes.
There he is.
Yeah, I guess my internet hates me, so
He's back.
were you guys talking trash while I was gone?
No, it was the perfect
No.
amount of time to be able to plug the show we have coming up. So it's
Yep.
almost like it was planned, but it really
But it totally
wasn't.
wasn't.
We're getting ready to host Becca Sugg from Reclaim the Day
Oh
on an
yeah.
acoustic show.
Cool, right on, dude. She's
We
cool.
love her. So.
Yeah, I'm super excited for her. I haven't seen her play live before, and Reclaim the Day is one of my absolute favorites, so I'm super excited to meet her.
Yeah,
But
it
anyway.
they the first time I met them, it was kind of a funny story. I played at Kingdom Come Festival, and I heard a band playing a song, and I was like, why do I know this song? And I was started walking towards the stage, and I'm listening, and they're playing a song that I had written from my first band. They're covering it. And I was like, what the? So yeah, it was kind of cool. And
That's
then
which song was
what song
that?
was it? It was Savior by Worth Dying For.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, it was funny. I was like, I've never this has never happened to me before. surprised by someone covering one of my songs, but yeah.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
what that was last year too, wasn't it?
I think it was the year before. It was the year, I think it was my first year when I went solo, did the
Yeah,
acoustic.
yep. So that, yeah, not this year. So yeah, last year. Yeah. Yep. That was the first time you and I hung out
Yeah, that's
inside of
right.
the podcast.
That's right, bro.
Oh, so going into next year, what's the big plan?
Man, next year. Well, just the album's out now. It's kind of interesting. The album's out and you're like, okay, I guess it's out. Still playing shows and I've had a lot of life change this last couple months, and so I don't really have a normal job right now. I'm sort of just out there doing
Right.
stuff, graphic design. I've been playing guitar for like recording guitar parts for bands, and I don't even know where, just random bands. And I'll be flying out and playing some solo stuff. And so I'm kind of tr I'm trying to make ends meet doing the things I love to do. And hopefully, God's been providing, but it's kind of a little bit of, not scary, but it's different. It's different. And so just seeing where that goes. I'm always writing music. I'm always writing music, and I've been thinking about connecting and doing more stuff directly with fans. It sounds weird to say fans, but you know what I mean, like people that support my music and
Yeah.
listen to my music. So kind of toying with the idea of doing some sort of like Patreon thing where I release songs directly to people, just because I got a bunch of songs that I'm always writing, and so thinking about doing something different with releasing music in general, just different ways of doing it, yeah, a lot of that. So a lot of the same, a lot of the same stuff that I've been doing, but just finding better and more creative ways to do it.
And
So
then
I've
coming up
got.
with, go ahead,
Go ahead.
Riker.
I was just gonna say, I have a question that, is kind of, I don't know, I think it kind of relates. I'm teaching a lesson to our youth group this Wednesday, and it's about journaling. And I'm curious, since you are obviously, since you write write music, write lyrics, you do a decent amount of writing. If you have any thoughts as to what journaling has become for you, how it, if at all, helps in your walk, the way you write music, the way you meditate.
Yeah, it's funny because I have a one of my best friends. He was always really on me about journaling. Like, why do you want me to journal, bro? He's like, because you forget what God has done. You forget, so you look back and you're like, what? Oh yeah, I remember that. So I've been off and on trying to journal more, but my problem is I don't like writing stuff, like physically. Like my kryptonite is when Rachel says, my wife, like, hey, I need you to fill out this form. I'm like, oh, I can't. Oh, I'd rather die. So that's hard for me. But with music, it's a way of journaling. And so a lot of times, I'm writing and recording songs, and that is like a form of journaling for me, because I'll listen to something and remember back when I wrote that, where I was, and where how far I've come since then, or whatever it is. But it definitely is helpful, and it could be in different ways. People. Even like drawing pictures and painting as a way of remembrance, of things in life. And because we forget, forget God's goodness, and we're so easy to be like, ah, he's never been there for me, and like he literally was there yesterday and then today and just forgot.
Yeah, that's the one of the big points. It's really cool to hear you say that, because yeah, that's one of the big points of this lesson, is it should be that Ebenezer, like from First Samuel, that remembrance, which is super cool. I also hate writing stuff. I'm very bad at it. I do audio journals. Like I like record myself talking.
How do you do that? What program do you use?
I just have an audio recorder on my phone.
Oh, like
Yeah.
literally
Yeah,
you're voice message.
literally I
Okay.
just record a voice
Okay.
memo.
That's a good idea. There's also, when I'm preaching, I do that with my sermon. I'll speech to text,
Yeah, like dictate
and
it.
then yeah, and then copy and paste it and clean it up. So that's a way I could do it as well.
Yeah, that's huge. 'Cause yeah, journaling, the way that we remember these things, and the way that we meditate on these things isn't gonna be one size fits all. If journaling, like writing in a book, was the only way to journal, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't, it wouldn't work. But thankfully, God's given us a lot of different ways, like writing music,
Absolutely.
to remember, to meditate, to learn. So, yeah,
That's
love
right.
that. Thanks for humoring that question, because it kind of just has something to do with my own stuff, but you know.
No, it's a great, I mean, yeah, I ironically, like that's something I have a journal. I think it's right here. I can find it in my desk that I'm supposed to be writing in, and I there's big gaps in it where I just don't, you know. So
I suck at journaling, so.
it's, I mean, maybe it's a dude thing, but you gotta try extra hard, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what albums are you digging yourself right now?
Man, I am the worst at this question because I get really stuck in certain specific things that I listen to over and over. And I,
Perfect.
yeah, I know, right? And I, you know, new music is great. I'm like, hey, I tell everyone, listen to my new album, and then I don't listen to anything new. But I, so when I'm writing, which is kind of all the time, but when I'm really focusing on it, I try not to listen to stuff that's within my genre or like adjacent. Because it's really it seeps in, and I want it to. But honestly, I've been really listening to the Superman soundtrack probably the most of anything.
Nice. From the
From
original Superman or
oh
just
no, like the new one, the new the James Gunn one, and then the Zack Snyder verse the Justice League soundtrack. I listen to that stuff a lot.
I love scores.
Yeah,
They're very
scores.
fun.
Yeah, scores, not a soundtrack. Score. I have this. So I, when I was talking with Josiah about this album, I wanted to. I was like, I don't know how to explain this, but I wanted it to be like sound, score meets, like punk rock. So what I did was, in the songs you'll hear a reoccurring musical theme, and it pops up in a few songs. Once you hear it, you'll hear it again, but like it comes up in one song as like a xylophone thing, and then or a guitar part. I think I do it on bass in one of the songs, so it's like a theme that reoccurs, and then there's the mountain imagery comes in and out of the album in different songs. So that was my way of sort of like meshing that together, and it's not official, but I think on the next release, I'm gonna push more into that. So you might even get more instrumental stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah, because
Cool.
I love instrumentals because you can, it's just a soundscape, and you can insert whatever, you know, whatever you're going through or whatever you want to think about or whatever you need inspiration. You're at the gym or whatever. Scores are great for that, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to re-listen to this album, li listening for those motifs. I absolutely love motifs in music and hearing reoccurring themes and stuff like that. One of my absolute favorite pieces of music ever is Epic the Musical by Jorge Rivera Herranz. Like, and
Cool.
all of like the motifs he puts into it and everything is one of my absolute. It's just
It's
so
just
I'm
really
gonna have
cool.
to listen, re-listen to that and listen for those specific
Yeah, let me know
memories.
if you find it. It's in there a couple times. It's not so overt that it becomes crazy obvious, but it's definitely in there. And then I've done it on every album to where they self-reference. So like the songs will
Yeah.
reference other songs, or they'll reference like the title of the album. So that's
Yep.
something I've always done, but I kind of expanded a little bit more this time around.
Tell what's your in your music, what's your favorite like reference or motif that you've put in there that you want people to look out for?
Man, I think it's on the new album. I think it's I think it's this new thing I've done, this little, it's like four notes. It's really simple. There, okay, so Hans Zimmer on the Man of Steel soundtrack. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there's a the Man of Steel theme, which is essentially Superman's theme. That's a near impossible task to do, is to write a memorable theme that can compete with the John Williams theme. It's like someone trying to, you know, do better than Danny Elfman at like a spooky song. It's pretty hard to do. But I actually feel like Hans Zimmer did that with the Man of Steel theme. And it's the simplest. I played on guitar. I'm like, it's the simplest thing ever. But there's something in it, like the movement of it and the chord changes with the melody. It's just like the greatest thing. So I've been really chasing that, and I'm gonna continue to ch chase that. That's like the thing for me. Like I'm a punk rocker and whatever. And like, oh, it's a lot of people can just write it off as like, oh, it's a punk album, you know, whatever. Ugh, the government. But like, there's more than that, you know. I feel like I've injected more than that into the music.
I love, yeah, that you mentioned Hans Zimmer, and I also really love Michael Giacchino, because
Yeah.
both of them I feel like have this really cool ability to put a lot of subtlety into their music to where you don't necessarily catch it on the front end, but if you really look into it, you see these very intentional choices. And I love John Williams, but typically everything's pretty upfront. It's very like, it's good, it's there, and it fits really well with what he's writing it for.
And it's
But yeah.
brass, and it's so it's loud,
Yes.
and
Yeah.
Zimmer does it with, you know, piano like that. Like I said, the Man of Steel theme is just piano, and it's like the greatest.
So I got to ask you what you think. What did you think of the Superman movie?
I really liked it, man. I thought it was cool. Funny, I saw it with Brian Welch. We I asked him, I was like, do you go to the movies? And he's like, yeah. Why? I'm like, I don't know. I just wanted to know. I didn't know if you go to the movies. And so we went, and I was like, well, you want to see Superman? He's like, yeah. So we saw Superman. So that was really cool getting to watch it with him. But I liked it a lot. I still, you know, this is a Zack Snyder poster behind me. So I love his treatment of superheroes, how they're very dark and deconstructed and grounded. I prefer that personally, with those characters. With Marvel, it's different. It's hard to be grounded with a guy that turns green and grows to 10 times his size, right? That's hard to grounded. But with a Batman or even Superman, you can be grounded and make it believable. So I prefer his treatment, but I really liked the new one. I thought it was fun. It was light. You know, it was. I guess it was, to me, it was like a really, really good TV show. Like that's a great episode of like a TV show. That's how I saw it. And it was cool, man. What'd you think? You like it?
I liked it. I know there's a lot of people who hated it, but I thought it worked well for what, you know, it's setting up the it's, you know, a rebooted universe. So, I mean,
Yeah, it had the things that I would want from a superhero movie. It had action and it had heart. I mean, I don't really ask for much more than that, honestly.
and Superman's a punk rocker,
And
you
I thought that was so funny when I was like,
know.
wait, when she said that, she's like, you know, or something, he said, like, kindness is the new punk rock. And I was like, wait a second, are we being punk rock? And then the Iggy Pop song at the end, which I really like. I like Iggy Pop too. And I was like, all right, it's cool.
That's cool. I haven't seen it. And it's not because I'm like avoiding it, but I like just don't watch movies like ever. So I haven't got around to it. But I've heard good things about it.
It's good,
And
man. It's good.
while I obviously respect the people that like the Snyderverse more. There's also on the other end of the spectrum the Snyder cultists that just like are ravenous, foaming at the mouth to tear down anything new, and it's like, okay, guys, come on.
No, I it's funny because I love all that stuff, but yeah, I have the ability to also like other stuff, you know.
Which is good,
Which is good. I
especially
think
as an
that's positive.
artist, you know?
Yeah, I think that's positive, but I definitely understand. That's a cool one thing I like about Zack Snyder is you really like what he does or you hate it. And I actually think that's cool, you know. I would much rather have that than someone be indifferent, you know, about your art, where they're like, oh, it's fine. I would rather have them be like, oh my, I hate this so much. I'm like, cool, this is good. People
So,
hate Zack Snyder.
we are running out of time currently. So, one thing, I mean, I'm sure obviously you've had this with us in previous podcasts, but we love to pray for our guests. How can we be praying for you right now, Nate?
Oh man, life is weird. Just direction, you know. I'm in between all the things right now. So, yeah, just direction, God's direction. I know He has a plan. I would like it if He would tell me the plan, but typically doesn't.
Don't we all?
It'd be cool if He could journal it for me, could write it down. And, well, I guess He sort of
hey,
did.
Good use case for journaling is figuring out the will of God.
Write it down and put it in a post-it note for me, God. But yeah, just direction. Yeah, wisdom.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And then this is something that Jason loves to ask all the time, but if there's one thing that you would like to leave the Rock for Him podcast listeners thinking about, what would that be?
Wow. You should ask something easy.
No. Absolutely not.
You don't want to do favorite foods or whatever? Okay. One thing I would leave them with. I would just say, I spent a lot of life on stage and like in front of people, and which is cool. But I realized that the most important things that you can do don't involve any of that. They don't involve stages or microphones or anything like that. It's literally what you do every day, how you treat people, that will, even if they disagree with you on, you know, whether God exists or religion or politics or whatever it is, they'll remember that you treated them with kindness. And so, yeah, maybe kindness is the new punk rock.
I was waiting for you to say it. Let's go. There's the promo. There's the promo.
There
I thought
is.
We had it earlier, but now we got it.
Turn all that. Write that down.
And of course, Nate, what's your favorite food?
I already.
You were wanting to answer that one. I could tell.
My favorite food. Okay, this is going to gross people out probably a little bit, but if I'm like really, really like just wanting to just make my stomach hate me but feel good in the moment, I love sausage egg McMuffins from McDonald's so much. Do you remember when they had those all day?
Yep.
And I remember it was life-changing. Because I'm like, duh, I want this at, 7 p.m. But then they took it away and now it's only breakfast. But I don't eat them very often at all, but I dream about them.
Thank you for sharing.
Got it.
All right, Mr. Jeremy the Big Boy, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for bringing Nate back on the podcast, Lord. The time we've got to spend with him, Lord, I pray that it brings you glory, Lord, and points people to you. And Lord, continue to watch over Nate, continue to reveal your plan for his life to him, provide for him, Lord, and help him with writing new music and preaching and all the stuff that you've called him to do, Lord. Lord, just continue to send people to walk with him and to just uplift him when he's feeling down, Lord. Lord, I pray that you do the same for us and Rock for Him, and Lord, continue to provide for us and lead us all and draw us closer to you. And Lord, that this time we've had together blesses you and somehow ministers to the people listening, Lord. If anybody listening to this podcast doesn't know you, Lord, we ask that you make yourself known to them and that they would call you Savior. And Lord, just keep us all safe while we're out here doing your work. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Nate, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Remember, you got to have a nickname for next time. Make sure you
That's
write
right.
that down. Come
That's
prepared
right.
So that next time you come on the podcast, you have a fun nickname like Sans Shoes or The Big Boy.
Man, those are so
But not
good.
me. I don't have a nickname. I'm
Yeah, what
just
about
Riker.
you, dude?
No, you're the bonus Jonas.
Strong.
They try to give me a nickname, but it's not gonna work.
Striker from
All
X.
right. Well, for all those watching and listening, we love you all. And just if you're gonna rock, rock for him. Good night, everybody.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.
Next week on Rock for Him, we are joined by the band Saved by Scarf.